Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The installation is also working through multiple military construction projects. We're very nearly completed with our new air traffic control tower that we look to be moving into this April. Additionally, we have a brand new simulator facility being constructed, and we've broken ground on our construction of the new Rotary Wing Operations Center that is going to be a premier training facility, all in one, both maintenance as well as squadron facilities for replacing some of our buildings that have been built well into the last century they were built. So we're excited to see that project moving forward.
This is the commanding officer of NAS Whiting Field, Captain Thumbs Elkin. Ted Thumbs is his call sign. It's kind of a cute one. Anyway, talking to the Santa Rosa County Commission about, you know, some of the projects that they're working on. And, you know, it's always good to be reminded of the significance of NAS Whiting Field to developing our pilots in the Navy, the Marines, and the Coast Guard. You know, 100% of all helicopter pilots and two-thirds of all other pilots. Two-thirds of all pilots go through for fixed wing on the T-6 Texans. And then all helicopter pilots go through there on the new TH-73 Thrashers.
NAS Whiting Field continues to produce the aviation warfighters that are needed to serve our national defense strategy. In calendar year 2025, we completed nearly 1.2 million flight operations at our aviation complex. For context, Atlanta Hartsfield usually does between 700 and 800,000 operations per year. So we are proud to be considered one of the busiest aviation complexes in the world, right here in our backyard.
It is hard to wrap your brain around the fact that Whiting does 50% more air traffic than Atlanta. Right? I mean, John, it sounds insane.
Wow.
Right?
Are you serious?
Yes. Because, listen, you get big jumbo jets or whatever flying out of Atlanta, but a flight operation is a helicopter or a plane taking off and landing. They take off and land 50% more than the volume of Atlanta.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah, no, it's the busiest airfield in the world. Like, it's crazy.
Last week, I was notified that Whiting Field again sets the benchmark of excellence, and we received word that we were selected as the 2026 Installation Excellence Award winner. They pick a large base and a small base, much like our library system. Whiting is small but mighty. We were the small base category winner. That also means we will go on to compete against our sister services for the Commander-in-Chief Excellence Award.
Yeah, it seems like they win these awards all the time. Well, not all the time, but, you know, they have won. They do it all the time. They're just NAS Whiting Field is fantastic. And, you know, a lot of times I think Whiting, kind of like Corey Station, gets sort of, you know, backseat middle on the hump attention, you know, compared to NAS Pensacola, which is unfortunate because it is so vital. I mean, Whiting in particular, so vital. Corey, so vital, the stuff they do out there. Anyway, just, you know, let's remember. What is it? I think the number is, I'm going to get this wrong. It's something in the vicinity of the economy of Santa Rosa County is 50% Whiting Field, and it's, you know, and the people who train there. And in Pensacola, in Escambia County, it's, I think, 60%+ of the economy comes from NAS Pensacola and Corey Station, which is a subsidiary of NAS Pensacola. So does the military matter to us? A little. You know, kind of a little. That's why whenever we talk about these things, we're always thinking, you know, this is massively important to us. Oh, have you seen the this is the weirdest story. Have you seen the proposal by James Fishback? You say, who exactly? He's some hedge fund guy who's running for governor. He wants to tax OnlyFans content creators 50% of their income.
You're an OnlyFans model and you reside in Florida. Get ready to pay 50% of your income to the state.
Okay, so he's running for governor on an income tax platform.
It is called a sin tax because it is a sin, number one. But the purpose of a sin tax in economics is to disincentivize and deter a behavior.
You think you're going to discourage the behavior? Even if you did, you just send them to another state. I mean, they can do OnlyFans, whatever, from anywhere. You know, you can do foot fetish pics from anywhere.
Whoa.
Whatever they do. Whoa. I mean, I don't know.
Andrew, do we
need
to talk?
I hear stories. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Sophie Rain, who is the top earner on OnlyFans. By the way, you want to take a stab at her, like, income on OnlyFans?
Like $3 million a year.
I actually don't have the annual, but $99 million so far.
Excuse me?
Her highest single customer, she says, $1.4 million from one dude for just...
Hanging out.
Hanging out. Being a friend. Sometimes... I'm being a friend.
Dadgum, we in the wrong business, aren't we?
Never in my whole life did I think that I would wake up and see a Florida politician trying to start beef with me for clout.
Start beef with me for clout. I don't even know.
She got the money to back it up, too.
Okay.
And I would be more than happy to pay that if multi-billion dollar corporations were also being properly taxed. But surprise, they're not.
Well, yeah, because we don't have an income tax in Florida. But that's a whole different question. So, yeah, this is a publicity stunt. But hey, get some attention. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it's a weird one to run for governor on an income tax platform. But okay, fine. Coming up next, the Transgressive Memorial Service. Find out why woke Andrew or brother Andrew doesn't like the college football playoff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
What? Oh boy, this is going to be good. All right, so we've got one accident to let you know about. Brent Lane, Davis Highway. It's off to the side of the road, just causing a little minor delay at the intersection. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local talk during your morning and afternoon drive. Local news every hour. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Missouri Senator Josh Hawley, who this week during a hearing on the alleged dangers of abortion pills, or what we like to call pharmaceuticals for childlessness-affirming care, verbally assaulted OBGYN Dr. Nisha Verma by repeating the same question over and over.
Dr. Verma, I wasn't sure I understood your answer to Senator Moody a moment ago. Do you think that men can get pregnant?
Now, obviously, Dr. Verma realized that Hawley was using a gotcha question and pandering to his base in an effort to create a viral video for X or Untruth Social. That's why she wisely and persistently refrained from giving him a yes-no answer. But no matter how many times she tried to push back and protest against his absurdly reductivist question, he just kept asking over...
Yeah, I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
Well, the goal is just the truth. So can men get pregnant?
And over...
You just said a moment ago that science and evidence should control, not politics. Absolutely. So let's just test that proposition. Can men get pregnant?
And over.
I do take care of people that don't identify as women. That
Can men get pregnant? Can men get pregnant? Do science and evidence tell us that men can get pregnant? Biological men, can they get pregnant? Can men get pregnant? And I want to know, can men get pregnant?
Now, it's true, dear Otherin, that Senator Big Mean Bully deserves most of the blame here, but if we're being honest, we also think Dr. Verma could have done much better. In short, instead of dragging out the pain of not answering, she should have simply said, yes, of course men can get pregnant. All she had to do was explain that becoming pregnant is not a result of being a man or a woman, but of having a functioning uterus. And if a person assigned female at birth now identifies as male, then by Gaia, that's a man, baby. And if he has not had any surgery or other gender-affirming care to render his uterus non-functioning, of course he can become pregnant. This is very easy to explain and would have taken far less time than the actual 5-minute exchange, and it would have been far less embarrassing for our cause and for Dr. Verma. Also, it would have been so simple because all she would have been doing is speaking the truths of science. It's not a set of chromosomes that make you a man. It's not some biological evidence in your musculature, your testosterone levels, or reproductive organs that makes you a man. It's what you believe in your heart to be true about your nature, no matter what your nature actually is, that makes you a man. Good science, like all truth, depends on the person, not the facts. Duh. Why Dr. Verma didn't just teach Josh Hawley this simple truth is beyond me, but she didn't. And so in addition to canceling the senator, we are officially issuing 4 wokeness demerits to Nisha Verma. And she will now have to expiate those with 18 repetitions of the Gender Anarchist Creed, 23 recitations of the Holy Rainbow Mantra, and 13 minutes of non-linguistic melodic moaning to heal her soul of the wounds inflicted by the violence of Holly's rude questions. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, and I must confess, I really hate to have to do this, but unfortunately we must excommunicate 11 Democratic members of the House of Representatives for voting this week to overturn Biden-era restrictions on the flow rate of showerheads. Yes, I know it's very upsetting to think so many Democrats would betray their party and do the bidding of the orange man who shall not be named, who issued a clearly immoral executive order in April to make this happen. Nevertheless, the House, by a 226-197 vote, passed the Saving Homeowners from Overregulation with Exceptional Rinsing, or Shower Act. As I stand here, I still cannot fathom this decision. The bill's sponsor, Russell Fry, said, if they want a nozzle that dribbles on their head, well then, go get one of those. If you want something that slices an orange, well then, go get one of those. That should be your choice as a consumer. No, dear Otherin. Our entire religion is based on the idea that almost nothing significant is up to the individual to decide. Conforming to the holy goals of preserving our planet requires everyone to do their part, including the vital shared experience of hydrologic suffering. Just as owning an electric vehicle, eating only sustainable food, and partaking of the holy sacrament of recycling daily, letting individuals make personal choices about water consumption is unacceptable. The only things an individual can be trusted to choose for herself are things that do not matter morally, such as what color Sharpie to use on your protest sign, whether to have your navel or your nose pierced first, which brand of herbal tea is best, or whether to terminate a pregnancy. You know, things with no moral significance. Besides, the big picture here is about more than just conserving water. It's that denying ourselves the pleasure of a properly pressurized shower is another way of reminding us in every little corner of our lives that misery is virtue, and that allowing the Holy Church of Wokeism to deny us our pleasures is proof of real devotion to the cause. And keep in mind that all you're going to get in a higher pressure shower is a cleaner body. And where would our movement be without the nasal joy of the naturally pungent aroma of progressivism gently wafting through the air here on a sultry Sunday morning? Yes, the sacred incense of our devotional time is the sweet, sweet smell of patchouli oil and BO. So let us embrace the dribbling shower. Let us celebrate the unwashed grime of our ecological devotion. And let us reject the blasphemy of high-flow faucet life and its heretical cleanliness. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, the college football playoff. Now, I know that there are a lot of people in our area who cherish college football, but allow me to explain why the CFP needs to go, or at least why it needs to be done differently. Now, obviously, we have lots of objections to college football in general, including the violence it perpetuates, the toxic masculinity, the sexism of excluding women from the field of play, but displaying the most nubile of them as objects of sexual desire in skimpy clothes and excessive makeup on the sidelines, doing the only thing conservatives think women should do, cheer for their men. I don't even want to get into the problems of games that have winners and losers, and of course, turning the skin of a poor pig into an inflatable plaything, and don't get me started on the inequities of recruiting based on name, image, and likeness deals, the enormous rich-poor gap between high-profile schools and small, less successful ones, not to mention the way football scholarships turn the important goal of acquiring an education into a secondary objective to playing time and the chance to advance to the NFL. And I'm not even concerned for the moment about the various offensive team names like the Florida State Seminoles or the Fighting Illini, the North Dakota Fighting Sioux, the Holy Cross Crusaders, and the dangerously pro-Confederacy rebels of UNLV and Ole Miss. Obviously, there are lots of problems with college football in general, but none of this addresses the real pressing problem of the college football playoff structure itself. Before we critique and improve, let's talk about the things we like about the CFP. The most obvious of which is the complete lack of consistency in the selections. Although this may drive fan bases crazy, we celebrate the unfairness of the bracket picks, like excluding Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, and BYU with 2 losses, but including Alabama with 3. We like this because it's important for people to accept a degree of irrationality imposed by unaccountable leaders without good explanation. Good followers are cultivated by being required to accept the unacceptable. We also obviously like the way that giving the highest-ranked teams a bye in the first round disadvantages them, and that serves to make the two sides more equal. And against such equity, there can be no law. Now for the problems, and maybe some remedies. First, the better team should not get home field advantage, ever. How is it following the principles of equity to boost the chances of the stronger team? If anything, the weaker team should get home field advantage to give them a better chance of winning. Also, why match the weak against the strong teams? The strong should have to beat each other. That would be fair to the weak teams. Another problem, the bowl game names. Cotton, Sugar, Orange, Alamo, Fiesta, Rose. What a terrible missed opportunity. And not just because of the crass capitalism of conjoining the bowl game name with a corporate sponsor such as in the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl or the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl. Instead, I mean what a terrible missed opportunity to teach virtue through meaningful names. Imagine if teams in the CFP contended with each other in the Cheez-It Equality Bowl, or the Duke's Diversity Bowl, or the Harbor Freight Rainbow Bowl, the Inclusion Bowl, the Anti-Racism Bowl, the Justice Bowl, the Why Can't We All Just Get Along Bowl, or even the Whose Streets, Our Streets, or the No Justice, No Peace Bowl. Even the bowl games that aren't part of the CFP could have encouraging names like the Participation Trophy Bowl, or the Consolation Bowl, or the Attagirl Bowl, or the All Our Starters Got Drafted Bowl. As advocates of value-based naming, we really think a lot more could be done to bend the arc of bowl game universe toward justice. But probably the biggest reform of all would be a simple one. Do away with the championship entirely. Just declare that all the teams are winners in their own way by not even having them compete to declare winners. We could just all get together, chant some nice slogans of peace and unity, declare victory for everyone, and then all the fans can go home with victory in their hearts instead of with pain and the loss that all fan bases except one live with for the rest of the year. So let us begin the rebranding right away. If we can't reform football itself, let us at least make sure that nobody feels bad about themselves and that everyone feels like a winner. If we've learned anything from science in the last few decades, it's that the facts don't matter as long as we believe in ourselves. Being able to identify as winners is all we really need, regardless of whether we were identified losers at bowl games in reality. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
You like the All of Our Starters Got Drafted Bowl, don't you?
I like that one, and then I was like the Participation Trophy Bowl. I was like, yeah.
It's a little more honest branding, don't you think? All right, John Pickens has got traffic for us, John.
That's right, brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Let's see here, still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and Beck's Lake Road. Again, not seeing any delays. Wanted you to be aware of that one. I-10, I-110, 90-98, they're all flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. A federal judge in a case dealing with the deportation of pro-Palestinian activists says actions taken by the Trump administration are unconstitutional. District Judge William Young making those comments yesterday in a hearing regarding a lawsuit over the targeted deportations. The judge called it an unconstitutional conspiracy to pick off certain people. President Trump reportedly considering invoking the Insurrection Act to quell the protests in Minnesota. That would give the president the authority to deploy the military to suppress a rebellion on American soil. The protests have increased in Minneapolis over the last few weeks. And OpenAI investing in a brain-computer interface startup founded by its CEO, Sam Altman. TechCrunch says OpenAI is the biggest investor in the $250 million seed round in the company. It's called Merge Labs.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. I have tickets to the Senior Bowl, two right now, for caller number 3-437-1620. Call now and win. Tickets to the Senior Bowl, January 31st.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Another tense night in Minnesota as anti-ICE agitators clash with federal law enforcement in Minneapolis as President Trump threatens to invoke the Insurrection Act in the city over the continued unrest.
Protesters and agitators were demonstrating against law enforcement for most of the day yesterday, leading up to a tense night. A group also showed up to counter-protest at the federal building yesterday, which led to some clashes. The protests and riots have been going on for more than a week now.
Fox's Matt Finn, the Pentagon sending military assets to the Middle East, as sources say President Trump is weighing military strikes in Iran.
One of the assets that's expected to head to the Middle East in the coming days is an aircraft carrier that could take at least a week before it gets to the region where there are many U.S. bases. A lot, though, would depend on how Iran acts in the coming days and weeks.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 31 degrees with looks like clear skies here across the area. We'll get to our full forecast here in just a couple of minutes. But first, look at our headlines today. More than a dozen Pensacola residents demanded city council terminate the police department's contract with Flock surveillance cameras last night. The AI-powered license plate readers track vehicle movements throughout the city. Community member Sarah Brummett said residents weren't consulted when the contract was signed.
The city, through the police department, signed a contract to install Flock cameras, which, for those who don't know what Flock is, it's an AI-powered mass surveillance technology straight out of a dystopian sci-fi movie. And so we signed this contract, our city signed this contract, while speaking about it very euphemistically as traffic cameras in meetings and to the people.
And about a dozen speakers expressed concerns about data sharing with ICE and federal agencies, AI errors leading to false accusations and privacy violations. The comments were all made during the public forum. There was no item on the agenda dealing with those cameras. L.A. Pensacola senior citizen wants the city council to help restore meal services at the Cobb Center on Mallory Street. Rosa Johnson says the Council on Aging stopped serving meals at the center after a conflict between employees and she says that punishes seniors who rely on the program.
Why are we being eliminated from these services because of a conflict between two individuals? I would like to know why. What justification can you give me or any of our seniors that you're going to stop feeding us because of an argument between that person and that person? That wasn't in their commitment for their 501(c).
And Deputy Parks Director David Miller said the city has tried to reach a compromise with the Council on Aging, but he says ultimately it is the Council on Aging's decision where they provide those meals. Now, Baldwin County deputies arrested a California man after finding 65 pounds of marijuana in his vehicle during a traffic stop on I-10. Andre Hernandez was pulled over around the 58-mile marker this week. Police canine alerted to drugs in the vehicle During a search, deputies say they found the 65 pounds of marijuana concealed in trash bags and duffel bags in the trunk. Hernandez now faces a drug trafficking charge. The Florida House has passed a bill that would lower the minimum age to buy rifles and other long guns from 21 down to 18. The vote was 74 to 37. The current age limit was put in place after the Parkland school shooting that killed 17 people about 8 years ago. House Majority Leader Tyler Seurat says that lowering the age is about Second Amendment rights. The House has tried it before, but the Senate refused to go along. Well, Senator Rick Scott taking action against child care fraud. With more on that, it's Austin Price.
Senators introduced legislation that would permanently bar providers who commit fraud from federal programs and require repayment of improperly spent funds. It could also carry immigration consequences for non-citizens involved. The measure follows reports of widespread fraud in Minnesota's child care assistance program. I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Austin. And right now we've got 31 degrees. It is clear skies this morning with a cool start to the day. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were mixed this morning as investors monitored the economic outlook and geopolitical concerns. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield rose one basis point to 4.172%. The yield on the 2-year Treasury advanced was marginally lower at 3.561%. Oil prices are sharply higher by more than 1% as chances of a U.S. strike on Iran recedes. West Texas Intermediate currently sitting at $60 flat per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $64.58 per barrel. Mitsubishi Corporation said it will acquire shale gas assets in the U.S. in a roughly $7.5 billion deal, including debt, as the Japanese trading house looks to build on its presence in the country's energy market. Mitsubishi is looking to capitalize on rising power needs from data centers, manufacturing, as well as LNG exports. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials gained 292, the NASDAQ up 58, the S&P 500 up 17. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
No sleep till...
Good morning. morning. It's 6:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us is Alex Andrade. He is our state representative for District 2, and it is the first week of session. And pretty much, I think, every year that he has been in office when we've had session, we try to have him on every Friday to give us a recap of what's going on in the legislature in Tallahassee. Alex, welcome back, and for your final session.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Yeah. Last one, last ride.
I will tell you, as I get older, one of the things I notice happens more with me is I think about beginnings and endings and not just middles of things. And so whenever this may sound morbid, but you'll understand where I'm getting at. I have an older dog and a younger dog. And when I'm petting the older dog, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to be able to pet her forever. That's coming. Mm-hmm. And then I think, well, even for the younger dog, that's coming. And so that sense of time shortening to be the awareness of the whole scope of something. And I just wonder, now that it's in your eighth and final year as a legislator, if you have any of that sense, if you're already thinking about the ending and it being over, or if you're just kind of like, oh, man, there's so much work to be done with my committee right now.
It's a combination, depends on the day, but I mean, I'm at the beginning stage of a different part of life, right? Like I have a 6-month-old at home and a 3-year-old at home.
Yeah.
And so when folks talk to me about it, and ask me like, what are you going to do next? You're going to run for something else? And no, I want to go appreciate the time I have, with my two little girls and my wife. So, sure. There's some days where it's like, man, I wish I could have gotten something more done.
Yeah.
Right. But there's, I'm in a great position right now to get some really exciting things done. And I'm making significant progress on some really exciting things as the chair of the healthcare budget committee. When my time is up over here, there's going to be no like somberness just because it means I get to be home every single morning with my wife and my two daughters.
Yeah. I mean, next March, cause it'd be a later start because of, not being an election year, but basically, next March, you will both not be the attorney for Milton and also not have to go to Tallahassee, which I got to imagine is going to give you a lot of time to catch up on Netflix.
my cortisol levels will plummet.
Hey, let's talk about healthcare stuff for just a second. It's a story maybe people have not heard yet, but because of changes taking place at the federal government level and some of the funding changes, especially around Obamacare and the subsidies, it winds up that some Floridians, actually a number of Floridians who have HIV, are going to lose their access to free drugs to treat their disease, right?
Yeah, there was some news yesterday out of the Tampa Bay Times and the Tallahassee Democrat about we have an HIV program to the Department of Health. Right now, Floridians who are at 400% of the poverty level who have HIV can qualify for free subsidized HIV drugs, prevention drugs that allow HIV to be more manageable. Unfortunately, because of some changes to the Obamacare subsidies at the federal level, the state of Florida is losing out on $120 million to provide these drugs. I had to like run down the details of it this week just to make sure I was fully aware of what was going on. But the Department of Health is modifying that 400% poverty level qualification down to, I think, about 130% of the poverty level. It's always unfortunate when you see a program like that kind of be changed and people who, were depending on it losing it, but it's a situation where we don't have $120 million to pick up on this federal program. So it's a situation where, you have this interaction between the federal government and the state, and, when the federal government decides to pull back, the state doesn't have the funds necessarily to fill that gap.
Yeah.
It's not the only program like that, but it's the most recent one. And, it represents $120 million that we'd have to find. And when you think about $120 million for, 10,000 people in the Florida population who might lose it, it gets difficult to say that that's the best use of those dollars. And we just, right now, unless we make significant cuts to other programs, we don't have $120 million to move to that program.
There's 10,000 people in Florida that are HIV positive? That are in this.
Oh no,
in this,
no. There's
far more than that, right? But I mean, that are in this particular
far
problem
more.
Set.
Well, there's 10,000 people who were between 130 and 400% poverty level who were getting these drugs for your subsidized from the Department of Health. There's far more people in Florida with HIV, but that's the population that we're talking about, these folks that were in this program within those two qualifications.
Got it. Very good. I mean, very terrible, but I mean, you know, wow. We also, you guys, yesterday, the House as a body passed the lowering of the gun age bill to 18 again for long, you know, rifles and shotguns. That was the post-Parkland bill that made it 21 for everybody. Okay, good. I support this completely. Constitutionally, I support this. But is there yet again any chance this is going to go anywhere in the Senate?
There's always a chance, Andrew. There's always a chance. But no, there's no companion bill in the Senate. So barring some amendment to a bill vehicle in the Senate or some type of amendment on the floor, you know, towards the end of session on the Senate side, no, there's not a traditional chance in the sense that there's, you know, two bills that are similar enough that will go through session on both sides.
You know, it's kind of interesting as I was thinking about Senator Albritton's comments about, you know, the purpose of the Senate is to slow things down and make bad judgments not happen quickly and, you know, cool the saucer of legislation and all the stuff, which I agree with. It's interesting because the Senate has been the roadblock to removing this restriction and allowing people 18, 19, and 20 to buy long guns for, you know, personal defense or whatever. But it was this, which, you know, I understand the argument, but it was also the Senate that acted quickly post-Parkland to put in the restriction. You might make the case that it was the rapidity of the Parkland bill that got us into the problem we were trying to undo for the last several years.
Yeah, no, I mean, And to that point, and to pretty much all the points, I think Ben Albritton's speech was great. It was remarkably self-aware, right?
Yeah.
No politician wants to talk about themselves in that way necessarily, at least not in front of an electorate, right? You know, everybody wants things done fast. Everybody wants to talk with their king for a day.
Yeah.
The Senate has a specific role, and so it was remarkably self-aware. To talk about the Senate that way, and it does have a role, you know. But no, yeah. To your point, sometimes, you know, we act too fast, too efficiently, and, you know, things that, you know, are bad are bad. But at the same time, the majority of Floridians disagree with reducing the age back to 18, right? Like me, conservative Republican, I want the age reduced back to 18. I want a broader discussion about the age of majority if we're going to treat 18, 19, 20-year-olds like lesser than adults. But at the same time, the majority of Floridians disagree with me. And I have to acknowledge that at the very least, while at the same time, you know, standing by my own principles that I believe are based in the Constitution. And there's actually a circuit split in the United States. We have I think it's the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then the 11th Circuit ours that upheld our state law. The Fifth Circuit said that, you know, age restrictions are unconstitutional. So the Supreme Court at some point might weigh in and decide whether or not we can discriminate against 18, 19, 20-year-olds.
And by the way, that's one of the things I've always kind of admired about you is you have a very good, awareness of even your own duty to represent something you don't necessarily agree with, but which you know your constituents very much want, that obligation to be a representative as opposed to being, you know, your own man. And I think that's an important point to make as well. We'll come back to this in just a second. We got Alex Andrade on the line. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
Just one accident right now on Brent Lane and Davis Highway. It's off to the side of the road, not seeing any delays associated with that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Alex Andrade. And I know you and I both appreciate Senator Albritton's just reminder of, you know, the design was gridlock. Like, the design was inefficiency. You know, government isn't supposed to operate very quickly except under certain very limited circumstances. So I love that. I love hearing a politician actually explain that. E-Verify, there was a bill that you guys passed on this, right?
There was. We passed the E-Verify bill off the floor yesterday as well that essentially would apply to all businesses. So all businesses would have to run new hires through E-Verify to you know, verify immigration status. Again, that was another one that was, you know, popular on the House side, unclear what's going to happen in the Senate. But it's kind of a no-brainer, right? If you're a conservative Republican coming up through, you know, like in our state right now, where we on the House side are far more responsive, obviously, to our primary voters that we see every 2 years. And so we passed that one. But again, going back to Senator Alburn's point, unclear what the Senate's going to do about it.
You know, I'm going to ask you an awkward question, because the E-Verify move makes it so that businesses less than 25 people have to do E-Verify, whereas now it's only over 25. And so the principle is we want to make sure that we catch everybody who's illegal, or we prevent everybody who's illegally here or undocumented here from, you know, getting a job, because that's something that we're trying to prevent in its entirety. I think a savvy Democrat might say, okay, you want to allow background checks to prevent criminals from getting guns at a gun store, but you don't want to have to run background checks for private individuals or at, you know, gun shows or something like that, let's say. Isn't the same principle there that if it's good enough to make small businesses have to do this with small hires, why don't we have to make small gun purchasers do this with small gun sales?
Well, no, I'm perfectly fine with background checks for firearm purchases. I mean, I think that's been pretty standard across the board. But the distinction between the right to purchase a firearm and the right to hire an illegal immigrant are two very different distinctions, right? Like,
oh, sure,
employers don't have a right to hire an illegal immigrant, whereas Americans do have the right to possess and own firearms.
Well, they have the right to hire a legal, you know, somebody who's here legally. So that's, I think that's the parallel. But no, I'm glad you say that, because I feel the press of that same question that, you know, if we believe in background checks for gun purchases, we should believe in background checks for gun purchases. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I was curious what your take on that would be. Civil liability for loss of a child when you're pregnant. This is an interesting one. You also passed that yesterday?
Yeah. And I mean, this is, you know, it got the same treatment from the minority party as like any abortion bill normally does. But essentially, I mean, right now in Florida, the dynamic is if you're a pregnant mother in a car driving to the hospital, you get into a car accident, you cannot sue the drunk driver that hits you for the loss of life of that child. Whereas if you are driving home from the hospital.
We currently don't have
yeah,
that? Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Go on.
Whereas, like, you're driving home from the hospital after giving birth to your child, you can sue that drunk driver for the loss of your child.
Right.
So the premise of the bill is simply we're going to acknowledge the loss of life of that unborn child and allow for civil liability for anyone that causes the loss of that life. But it got the same treatment as most abortion bills do, which I think is kind of sad. But it passed. I was obviously very proud to vote for that one as well. And so, you know, that one's going to get sent over to the Senate, just like our bill on free kill. Again, this year, it was a bill that DeSantis vetoed last year that allows for family members of adult children who don't have children of their own to be able to sue for malpractice if an adult child or family member dies.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah, and I do think it's kind of I get why they're opposed on the prior one, the civil liability bill, because they're worried about anything that defines a child as a human being. But of course, we're well down that road already with the 6 week limit anyway. So and this is again kind of a no brainer. I'm surprised, you know, it's so clearly it's biblical, it's conceptually valid that if you take away somebody's pregnancy, you know, you're taking away their child. And so whether you caused it intentionally or not, that should be something for which you should be liable. Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. I don't know a lot about this. Literally, what I know about is I saw it I heard it in the news at the top of the hour, 5 o'clock this morning coming in. But I guess we're in Florida. We are working to create, or maybe have created, an alternate certification aside from the bar. I know we're doing this in education generally. We're looking for alternate certifications for or accreditations for our colleges. But I guess the idea is to give us another way to get lawyers approved to operate in the state of Florida other than the ABA. Is that right?
No, this is just simply for the law school aspect, right? You still have to pass the bar exam to become.
Okay.
The bar exam is still the deciding factor. Florida doesn't have reciprocity with any other state. In fact, the Florida Supreme Court smacked down James Uthmeyer a couple weeks ago when James was asking the Supreme Court to let him bring out-of-state lawyers into his office without taking the Florida bar. On the flip side, though, why should we allow the American Bar Association to say what is and is not a satisfactory law school in the state? So it's really just about, you know, would we or should we allow for law schools to be started in Florida to potentially train potential lawyers without the ABA's blessing. I'm perfectly okay with another kind of certifying body, allowing for law schools to exist. My one concern with all of that is the consumer protection aspect. You know, a lot of times we have these kind of fly-by-night schools that get popped up. They make a lot of promises to their students. These students take out a ton of student loan debt, and then they're not prepared to, take the licensing exam, especially not one as difficult as the Florida bar exam, to become lawyers. So there's the consumer protection aspect of allowing more law schools to pop up and be created. But at the same time, the ABA is not the end all be all for the existence of law schools. So I was perfectly fine with that change.
You still can't take the bar without a law degree though. Is that true?
Yeah. I mean,
because I've always thought that maybe that should change. Like, I'm with you on protecting the consumer through some kind of accreditation for the law school that's taking money for claiming to teach you the ability to pass the bar. But I think if somebody wants to study in their basement at night, they shouldn't have to buy law school. They should be Abraham Lincoln. You know, they should they can go pass the bar, and if they can pass the bar, that's good enough for me.
California is like that, I think, where you don't have to go to law school to sit for the California bar exam. I'd be perfectly fine with that as well. If someone thinks that they're competent and capable of passing the Florida bar exam without going to law school, they should be allowed to go sit for it.
Yeah, and if we don't trust the bar exam to sift through the competent and the incompetent lawyers, then we need a different bar exam. I mean, that to me is the kind of – so I'm glad to hear you say that also. Well, good. It's going to be a very interesting session, obviously, this year. Alex Andrade, he is our state representative for District 2 in his last year. Thanks so much for the time, Alex. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. Let's see. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. We're back to rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, 90, 29, 98, all are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
What about 147?
Hut. I just wanted to...
Hey, if you need to get your roof repaired, or you don't know whether you need it to be replaced or repaired, or you do know you need to get it replaced, maybe because it's like 13 years old and you're trying to sell your home and your insurance company's like, or the buyer is like, or whatever. Well, call Quality Roofing Solutions. They have put in 10,000 roofs in the last 20 years. Since 2006, Brian Ward started them, and great company. 4.9 rated on Google, a lifetime warranty on their roofs, which is, amazing. And also, they're just invested in the local community. They kind of find all the right little ways to do things right. Which is, for example, he found out after Sally, hey, it'd be helpful if we had a warehouse here. So they built a warehouse. They developed this distribution network of vans that run around between the warehouse and the job site so that guys on the job site don't have to take time to go back to the warehouse. And, they have these transit vans that carry all the supplies that they might need. And they scan things in and out with a barcode so you know exactly what gets used and not used on your home for accurate billing. I mean, like, all kinds of stuff that are very, very good business practices. Plus, they talk to you like you're a human. And I always like that. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850. 850- Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Oh, we could have played this for Alex. Going back to Cali. Oh, man, we only have like 15 seconds to give him. But David Wayne, do you have a quick headline for us here, sir, before we get to the top of the hour?
Nothing I can do in 15 seconds.
Perfect. Coming up next, we'll talk about the Pensacola Police Chief's search. I did watch the interviews from Wednesday, the actual interviews with the board for selecting the police chief. I have a lot of thoughts and a lot of really, really interesting stuff that they were talking about in that meeting. So that'll be all coming up next here on News Radio 92.3.